recording. Okay, so my technology skills are obviously not very good, so we're doing something a little different this week, but we're going to do a quick rundown of the scores from last week. There's a little bit of some games that we knew were the outcome was going to be, some games we were very surprised about, and others that were very close, and it was fun to watch. So let's break down week 10 in the Pac-12. Let me pull it up real quick because now I'm lost. But here we go. So Arizona beat Colorado 42-34. Oregon beat UCLA in Chip Kelly's homecoming 42-21. USC ran all over the Oregon State Beavers 38-21. Washington State beat Cal 19-13 in a real nail biter. Arizona State absolutely slapped around Utah 38-20. And Washington beat Stanford 27-23. Some of these we saw coming: Oregon beating UCLA, USC beating Oregon State, Washington State beating Cal, although that was a lot closer than anticipated. And then some other ones that were a little bit surprising: Arizona beating Colorado 42-34. Big game for — we're going to jump right into the Big Boy Pants Awards for me. In this game, one of them comes for me: Khalil Tate, 17 of 22, 350 yards passing and 5 TDs. Looked like the Heisman candidate that he was all chopped up to be at the beginning of the year. Did you watch that game?
I did not watch that game, but I was checking the stats periodically because I was very interested. And I think that's just one of those games that I always talk about trending.
Right.
Like the direction different teams are going, and these teams are going opposite directions. So. Makes perfect sense.
Yep. So that was a big game for them. My other Big Boy Pants Awards come from the biggest surprise of the weekend, which was Arizona State at Utah. Mine is Eno Benjamin, 27 carries, 175 yards, and 2 TDs. Look like LaDainian Tomlinson out there. Incredible. He's got power. He's got speed. He's got agility. He's got the whole package. So he is my second Big Boy Pants Awards. Big Boy Pants Award. What about you? Who do you got from around the league?
On the same note, Arizona State, right? I got N'Keal Harry, 9 catches, 161 yards, 3 touchdowns. Absolute beast. Continues to kill it, even though everybody knows he's the only target on that team. My second guy is Cedric Ware from USC. 17 carries, 205 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Finally, that USC running game gets going. And Ware continues to kind of be the guy the last 2 or 3 weeks, right? Hats off to him, and I hope that this is just a sign of a future USC running game to come and not just a fluke.
Absolutely. No, that was a huge performance. It was nice to see USC get off the ground and get their running game going because they need it, and they need it to support JT Daniels. They need it to just continue to win games, and they absolutely ran all over the Beavers, 333 yards, which was absolutely incredible. The other game that we haven't really talked too much about, Stanford at Washington, Washington winning. What do you think this does as far as who looks like they should be or who's at where they thought people would have them at?
So as far as Washington's concerned, I mean, they're still in position to win the North, mm-hmm. and they're still in position to win the Pac-12, right? So I think that's where people thought they would be at this point. However, I think also people thought that they would be in a position to have a chance at the CFP, and they don't. Right. So from a expectations perspective, I would imagine that this is a disappointing season with the veterans that you have coming back on that team. However, not all is lost, and right. winning a conference is never a, in my opinion, winning a conference can never be a disappointing season because college football is so competitive. And at the end of the day, we're dealing with kids.
Yeah. 18 to 22 year olds,
you know, like, To win your conference is an accomplishment, no matter what anybody says. Now, if Alabama just won the SEC and didn't make the CFP, maybe not an accomplishment because of the expectations outside of them, right? Everybody else winning your conference is an accomplishment. So they're still in good shape. You know.
Agreed. Other quick points before we move on to the little dumper. Cal, and we called it last week, really – held Washington State's offense that has been explosive all year in check. Obviously, Minshew still passed for, you know, 350 yards or whatever it was, but only one touchdown. And Cal looked good, and they have a very good defense. Unfortunately for them, their offense just can't really get going. But they kept this one close, and I thought it was a big-time performance by them in general. And I think that they're in a tough situation in that they're in the North, and they have, you know, Stanford, Washington, and now Washington State and Oregon all above them as far as who's played better and who's had better seasons. And so I think if they were in the South, it might be a bit of a different discussion. Mm-hmm. But they've got a great defense, something to build on for sure.
Yeah, I think that Cal plays USC this Saturday.
Yes, they do.
And another 7:30 game, which just pisses me off. But I guess if we're bad, they're going to put us, you know, the late night, the Pac-12 after dark. So fine, I get it.
True.
But that game makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Cal's good. Cal's good. They've beaten some good teams. And I don't think they're anybody to mess with. So I think they've had a respectful season. I don't think anybody had a lot of expectations coming into the season for them. So hats off.
Fair. The last game we should touch on, too, Arizona beating Colorado. Two teams seems to be just passing ships in the night. One trending up, one trending down. Arizona's won a couple good ones. Khalil Tate looks great. And Colorado without Chenault is just struggling. Does not look good at all.
Yeah, tale of two seasons. Yeah. Colorado's gone up and to the right and then down and to the left, or whatever, you know, analogy you want to use. They're going opposite directions. And I think that they, although they both still have a chance to win the South, which is mind-boggling.
It's
clear to see that one team has a lot more talent than the other, and schedules dictate a lot of how people perform in this conference.
Yes, correct. So we'll get into the standings here quickly, but first we're going to do our Little Dumper Awards. I can start my Little Dumper Award. I'm staying in this game because I think it was huge. The Utah Utes defense gave up, just didn't look good, you know, and for all of the praise and everything they've got as far as being one of the more dominant defenses in the country, being talked about as being one of the premier defenses, I think they did not show that at all, and obviously gave up 536 total yards to the Sun Devils, which is not their normal MO. So my Little Dumper Award goes to the Utah Utes defense.
Staying on that same train, Tyler Huntley is my Little Dumper Award. 7-15, 88 yards, 2 picks. I know we got hurt, but that team controlled their own destiny. They were in a great position, ranked 15 nationally, and they just completely dropped the ball, metaphorically speaking. And now they opened up Pandora's box for the rest of the freaking South to win the division.
And that's not even metaphorically. He threw two interceptions and the backup quarterback threw another interception. So technically,
touche.
Actually dropping the ball into the hands of the other team. But yeah, unfortunately he's hurt. So we'll see what that means for them moving forward. But he did not play particularly well before he got hurt. So let's get into the standings a little bit because things are a bit crazy. The South is still incredibly wide open. I want to read something to you. So the path right now, the rankings in the South are Utah still at the top, USC second, Arizona third, Arizona State fourth, Colorado fifth, UCLA Bruins last. However, each team technically still has a chance to win the whole thing, which is crazy to think. So the path for each team, if ASU wins out, they win. Destiny in their own hands, they win. Utah, if they win out and ASU wins, they'll be the South champ. USC, win out with a Utah and Arizona State loss, they'll be the champ. University of Arizona, win out Utah and USC losses because they play Arizona State, so that means they would get that win. Colorado, they need to win out. And then Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, USC, and UCLA all need to lose. So they need a lot of help. And same for UCLA, basically win out and everyone else lose. So technically everyone still has a shot, but I think the top four teams are what are really interesting in Arizona State, Utah, USC, and Arizona.
Yeah, I think USC has the best track, to be honest with you, right? Yep. Like, as crazy as it sounds, And who knew that that game against ASU when they were so beat up meant so much? Because everybody was like, oh, they just got crushed by Utah. Who freaking cares? But it did mean a lot. And even at this point, if they would have won that game, they'd be in a much better position.
True.
They would probably control their own destiny, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point.
USC has UCLA and Cal left in the Pac-12. And both Utah and ASU, who they need to lose, both play Oregon still.
Yeah, that's huge.
And Utah plays Colorado still. So it is very, very possible that both of those teams lose. USC wins their last two conference games. They lose 70-3 to Notre Dame. Who cares? Although I hate Notre Dame, so obviously I care a little bit.
Right, but it doesn't matter as far as the conference goes.
It doesn't matter as far as the conference goes. I think if you can somehow get JT Daniels and that USC team to the Pac-12 championship, regardless of what happens, I think you call this year a success.
I think you have to. I think competing for your conference championship is a big deal no matter what. Where is the Colorado-Utah game? Is it at Utah or at Colorado?
In Boulder.
Ooh. See, that's a trap game, I think, because Colorado, everyone is kind of writing off losing a bunch in a row, but then towards the end of the season, you get Chenault back. Maybe they get back on track here. Ooh, that could be bad for the Utes. So, still wildly wide open in the South. The North, there is a bit more of separation. Washington State is sitting at the top, followed by Washington, Stanford, Oregon, Cal, and Oregon State. Right now it's looking like the Apple Cup is going to kind of decide who wins the North, because Washington State currently 5-1, Washington currently 5-2, and then Oregon and Stanford are below them both at 3-3, so they need a little bit more help to kind of get pulled up. But that Apple Cup is looking like it's going to be the deciding factor for the North.
And we've kind of seen that before. I mean, not necessarily the fact that Washington and Washington State have been both – able to win the North with that win, but the Apple Cup itself has decided the North multiple times. So it continues to be a big game. So, and I like that, right? Rivalries should determine, who plays for conference championships if possible. And in this case it does, which is great.
I agree. And I think the other thing too, is that I just hope Washington does not blow it for Washington State, even though I picked Washington to go to the Pac-12 championship and win the Pac-12 championship over USC. I want Washington State to have every opportunity to get into the college football playoff. And if Washington does what they've done to Washington State the last 2 or 3 years in the Apple Cup and just totally obliterate them, I'm going to be very upset at the Huskies. No offense to any Husky fans out there. That's just for the good of the conference. I would love to see Washington State make it all the way.
Agreed. Agreed.
But, okay. Anything else about the standings or what you think as far as moving forward? I mean, we'll get into your power rankings, but, actually, let's do your power rankings right now. Do you have that ready?
I do. I have it ready. All right. Okay,
let's see how it compares to the standings themselves.
So I'm going to start in the North because it's less exciting.
Okay.
I'm going to go from 6-1. So number 6, Oregon State, although they have the one big win, they're still 2-7. They have to stay there, right? Mm-hmm. Number 5, Cal, 5-4, 2-4 in conference. Now, I'm kind of high on Cal at the moment,
right,
but I still think that the teams above them are better talent-wise.
Can we take a quick second? I meant to jump in when you were talking about Oregon State. We got some feedback from some Oregon State fans. Last week, I made a comment about I think they were pretty decent once. We had some fans write in. The leading voice of the fans was Scott Mathewson talking about in 2000, the Oregon State Beavers were very good. They went 11-1, won the Fiesta Bowl. That was with Dennis Erickson as the head coach. So they were very good that year. They had Chad Ochocinco, Steven Jackson, and TJ Houshmandzadeh. So we tip our caps to Scott Mathewson and the Oregon State Beavers fans for having one good season in the last 40, because then when you tell me to look up some stats, I'm going to look up some stats, Mathewson. And they have only had one other double-digit winning season other than that one in 2000, all the way back until, let me just keep going, 1917. So they've had two double-digit seasons going back to 19, oh, sorry, three going back to 1917. They went 10-4, 11-1. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It was only two. So there you go. Congratulations. You made us apologize for missing that one season, but then I just told you all about the other ones going back to 1917. So,
if I'm not mistaken, Chad Johnson and Houshmandzadeh were both on the Bengals.
So I believe they were.
They played pro ball together too? Interesting.
I think so. Yeah. Hmm. Good knowledge.
Yep.
Yeah, fun fact. Okay. Sorry. So Oregon State 6, Cal 5. What do you got after that?
Oregon 4, staying at their fourth spot. 6-3, 3-3 in conference. Stanford at 3, 5-4, 3-3 in conference. Now, by your – the way that you do rankings, head-to-head is very important, right? Stanford beat Oregon. So I got Stanford at 3, Oregon at 4. I'm not high on either one of them right now, but to be honest with you, at this point, if you're ranked on the same level, head-to-head is important. Stanford did beat Oregon.
Fair. Okay.
Washington at 2, 7-3 overall, 5-2 in conference, still has a chance to win the North. And then Washington State at number 1 in the North, no surprise there, 8-1 overall, ranked 8 in the new CFP rankings still.
Which is good, though. They didn't move down, so that's good news.
5-1 in conference, so not a ton of surprises. Really, the only difference is Stanford's drops down 1, Washington kind of jumps them just based on the recent events and the fact that you know, which team still have the chance to win the North. So
fair. Okay.
And then go down to the South, starting at 6, UCLA, 2-7 overall, 2-4 in conference, although a couple decent wins.
Okay.
They're just not looking that great. Colorado at 5, 5-4 overall, 2-4 in conference, which is devastating with the start that they had.
Yes.
So they dropped from 3 to 5 in my rankings just because I just have no faith right now. And if one player has that much of an impact on how you play football, that's tough.
Yeah, that is very tough.
USC from 2 down to 4.
Ooh.
So they're 5-4 overall, 4-3 in conference. They beat Oregon State, but the teams above them are just have way more momentum at this point.
Okay.
Number 3, Utah. They sit above USC because they beat them handily. 6-3 overall, 4-3 in conference. Previously ranked number 1, but they dropped to 3 because they got just annihilated by Arizona State in one of the most shocking, you know, wins in the Pac-12 season.
Yeah, okay.
Number 2, Arizona State.
Wow, look at you, Kyle.
Up from 6. Jumped up 5, jumped up 5 spots. 5-4 overall, 3-3 in conference. They have beaten USC and Utah back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Who were previously 1-2 in the South.
Yep. You
cannot understate that. They're on fire. They're playing well. Trending is important, so they jump up to 2.
Like you said last week, bad performances can't go unpunished, right? Mm-hmm. You have to punish teams when they have a bad performance.
Agreed.
Like you did to Oregon last week.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Number 1 in the South, Arizona, from 4-1. Only 5-5 overall, 4-3 in conference, but they have beaten Oregon and Colorado back-to-back weeks, which is huge. Khalil Tate looks like an absolute stud, like he was supposed to be, and the Arizona schools hold the 1-2 rankings in the South. Arizona State's 2, but they do control their own destiny, so they're kind of in the driver's seat, but the only reason I have Arizona 1 is if I have both of those teams playing in the Rose Bowl or some neutral field, I take I take Khalil Tate and that Wildcats team over Arizona State.
Fair. Okay. Fair. My one question for you, why is USC lower than Utah? Because they beat them in the head-to-head.
Utah crushed USC.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of a different game. You're right. Yeah. Utah crushed USC. Good point. I just wanted to make you say that out loud, to be honest. I knew that the whole time.
So the head-to-head actually works out, right? Utah crushed USC, Utah crushed Colorado, Colorado crushed UCLA, so the 3, 4, 5, 6, easy one.
Fair. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's get into week 11 in the Pac-12. Some huge matchups here, obviously, with I know we just read through the South's path to the title, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of good games. Oh, and it's not popping up for me right now, so give me a second. Let's start with the USC game, obviously, because that's a pretty big one for them. Who do you got in that one?
So Cal at USC in the Coliseum, 7:30 game. I'll obviously be in attendance, right? This game makes me super nervous. I'm still taking the Trojans.
Okay.
I'm taking JT Daniels. Cam Smith is still there. Marv Rotel is still there. They played well against Oregon State. The running game got going. I would imagine and hope that the running game continues and that they can keep the offensive, you know, momentum going. And now that they know that they have a legitimate chance to win the South,
right?
I think that creates some momentum for them.
Yeah, fair. I agree. I'm going USC over Cal as well. I think playing in the Coliseum is a big deal. I don't think that Hilton will lose another game at home, aside from Notre Dame. But I think that conference-wise, he won't lose another one for a little while. And I think, like you said, getting the defensive guys back. And as good as Cal's defense is, and they'll cause a lot of problems, offensively, they just totally can't put it together. So as good as your defense is, you still have to score some points to win, and they've scored 12 and 13 in the two games, the last two games. So I just can't trust the offense, and I think USC hopefully continues with the run game like they had last week and continues to just kind of put their offense together and getting those defense guys back. I'm going USC as well. Let's go to Oregon at Utah.
So I'm Oregon all the way. Okay. I don't think this is close. Huntley's hurt. He's out. Right. So yeah. I think that Oregon's just got so much more talent than they've shown the last couple of weeks. And so I think that with the injury to the quarterback position for Utah, Oregon just goes in and rolls them, to be honest, as much as that. Well, it helps USC, obviously, right. Which is great. But it's a bummer, you know, for the conference as a whole. I would like to see teams at full strength, either win or lose at full strength. And we're not going to get to see that, which sucks. But I'm going to go Oregon.
Okay, fair. I'm going Oregon as well. Like you said, I think not having Tyler Huntley in is a big, really big deal for them. Zach Moss is a great running back, obviously, but I think it's all predicated on the fact that Tyler Huntley can do it all. He can pass, he can run, he can do the whole thing. I think he keeps defenses at bay and lets the offensive linemen for Utah get off the ball quick and make some holes for Zach Moss. And so I am going Oregon too, because when you lose your stud star quarterback, I think your whole offensive game plan changes. And I think Oregon is just too much talented as far as everywhere else to where it evens out that with Tyler Huntley out, it's just too much for them. So I'm going Oregon as well. Let's go to UCLA at Arizona State.
ASU big. Okay. I think that ASU can see, obviously they know that they control their own destiny in the South, right? And so I think that provides a lot of motivation for them. Mm-hmm. And I also, you just don't know what UCLA team's going to show up, unfortunately. So I'm going to go with ASU, and I think it's not close.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're playing in Tempe too, so obviously that's not a tough place to play for teams, and they've shown that just last weekend and throughout the year, even with Michigan State coming to town. So crazy things can happen in the desert. And then, like you said, the kind of three-headed monster of Manny Wilkins, Eno Benjamin, and N'Keal Harry, I just think is too much for a UCLA defense that is not very good. And with DTR still kind of hurt, I just don't think their offense is going to be clicking either. So I'm also going Arizona State. We're on a track right now to pick all of the same teams. So we'll see how this plays out for us. Let's go Washington State at Colorado.
I'm going Washington State. I think this is close though. I think if they get Chenault back and they're in Boulder, I think that's a tough game. You know, Washington State didn't play phenomenally well last week. They kind of showed that they're at least a little bit vulnerable. But I think that they can all – I think it's important for teams to see the end goal in front of them, and I think Washington State sees that. Yeah. I think they have that motivation. I don't think Colorado has that. I think, if anything, they're just devastated by the way that the season has turned out after their start, which could not be easy to come back from. So I go Washington State.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the same. I think this is a bounce-back game. For the Cougs, because Cal's defense kept them in check a little bit last week, and I think that they kind of figure that out and figure out how to exploit a Colorado defense that couldn't stop Khalil Tate. And I think that Washington State's offense is better than Arizona's offense, and so I think that they'll get back on track and they will win. I'm going to say actually pretty big in Boulder. So I'm going Washington State. Let's go Oregon State at Stanford.
I'm going Stanford at home. I think Oregon State kind of had a little bit of a flash in the pan syndrome with that big win. So I'm going to take Stanford at home.
Okay, fair. I think that's a fair point. I think they're just more talented. I think they're just a better football team at this point. So it looks like we have all of the same picks. So the last time we did that, we each got to choose one to switch. Is that something that you're in for?
Yeah, so let me go first. I am going to give you...
Oh, man.
I'm going to give you UCLA.
Okay.
Just so you don't give them to me.
Yeah, fair. Okay. All right, so now I have UCLA. I am going to give you Oregon State.
Okay. I feel better about that than UCLA, so that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Well, the other games I feel like are too much of a toss-up. I can't give you – the only other one I was thinking about was giving you Colorado against Washington State, but, like, Cal-USC I think is going to be a good game. Oregon-Utah I think is going to be a decent game, even if Tyler Huntley doesn't play. So I think those were the only two that we kind of had for sure is that would switch. So, all right. So I now have UCLA, and you now have Oregon State. And I swear if Oregon State upsets Stanford, I'm retiring from podcasting. And oh, man. All right. Let's get into the power rankings real quick. Do you have those in front of you? Because I know they just came out very shortly ago.
The CFP.
The CFP, yeah. Are those out?
They are out. So I'll run through them real quick, right? So college football playoff week 10, Alabama number one still, Clemson number two, Notre Dame three.
Wow. Okay, fair.
Michigan four.
How do you not put Michigan three after just obliterating Penn State last week? Literally 42-7. Crush them.
Because Michigan is a one-loss team and Notre Dame's undefeated.
Oh, fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Georgia at five.
Okay.
Oklahoma six. LSU seven as a two-loss team. So they didn't even drop very far. They went from 3-7.
Wait, so they LSU did not look good. They didn't even score a point, 29-0.
They got crushed.
They got crushed. I feel like that's got to be more punished than what happened to them. But
Washington State stays at 8-1, and then West Virginia and Ohio State behind them. Really, the top 10 are the only teams that have a chance at the college football playoff. So my quick thoughts are Washington State should have moved up at least a spot, in my opinion, right?
I think so, yeah.
But the good news is you still have three SEC teams in the top seven. And only one team can win a conference championship, and it's probably going to be Alabama. True. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. There's no way they take two SEC teams if one has two losses.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So that, and then you have Oklahoma and West Virginia at 6-9, both with one loss. They play each other Thanksgiving Friday. That knocks one of those teams out. Michigan and Ohio State both have one loss. They play each other. So I think there's a lot of things going in Washington State's favor. I just see Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame as a 1-2-3 just walking in.
Really? I know. And so I think the only way that two SEC teams get in is if Alabama doesn't win the SEC, because I think they'll have one loss and they'll do what they did them last year and take them. So right
Agreed.
What we need to root for is Pac-12 homers. We need Alabama to win out, be undefeated. We need Clemson to win out and be undefeated. Oh, and then this is where it gets tough, because I personally think if Notre Dame loses, they don't go, because I think not being in a conference hurts them. And then we have to hope, so that would drop them. And then we have to hope that Ohio State beats Michigan, because then they'll both be two loss. Oh no, Ohio State's only one loss.
But Ohio State plays Michigan, and then they play for the Big Ten championship after that.
That's a good point. So we need both of them to lose one more.
Yeah.
Time. And then maybe that's how Washington State can sneak in. But there's Oklahoma still needs to lose too, because they're 8-1 and ranked sixth right now.
It's tough.
Tough sledding for the Pac-12 right now. But good news, we did have another team sneaking. Utah fell out. They're 15th, obviously, but they dropped all the way out. And Washington crept into to the number 25 spot. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. For them.
Yeah, and I think – that's good for the conference in general, especially because Auburn is ranked right above them, 24th, who's one of their losses. So, you know, we're some dominoes are falling for a little bit of help for the Pac-12, but still Washington State just needs to win out, and hopefully Washington wins the next couple of games, and then when they get to the Apple Cup, they're maybe in the top 20, and then Washington State can beat them and have another top 20 win on their resume because they need it with that terrible non-conference schedule.
All right, so let's go to the Blitz package. Let's do it.
Let's move on. All right, I like it.
All right, so I got one that I think you'll like.
Okay.
And so Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. A Denver Nuggets player who will remain nameless because I can't remember his name, was going for 50 points, and they were up by, let's say, 20, right? It's not important. At the end of the game, he had 48 points. And so he needed to make a bucket to get to 50, which is a huge accomplishment for a basketball player.
Right.
He shoots with the time running out, and being up by so much, that just pissed Kyrie Irving off. Grabbed the basketball, chucked it into the crowd, right? So made this big sports story. So really my question to you is, where do you stand on running up the score and sportsmanship as a whole? The examples of this guy going for a personal stat when the game's over, maybe throwing the ball in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter when you're up by 30.
Right. I personally don't think that he should have done that. I can't think of his name right now either. I'm going to look it up. The point guard for the Denver Nuggets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a big accomplishment, but I think that you should strive to get that in the flow of the game and not when, you know, all unwritten rules and procedures would tell you to just run the clock out. And I think that I think it was a bit petty. I wouldn't have done it myself. But then I also don't think, on the flip side, that Kyrie Irving should throw the ball into the stands either, right? Like I think there's proper ways to deal with that. So I think both are in the wrong.
Okay, so I completely disagree with you.
Oh, my gosh.
So
his name was Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. Yeah. My whole thing about it is these are professional athletes who are getting paid millions of dollars to entertain us. Are they not?
They are, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And if they were not entertaining, they would not be getting paid millions of dollars. My other thing is they're at the peak of their – careers athletically. If you don't want somebody to score 50, go stop them. If you don't want somebody to throw on you in the last 5 minutes of a football game when they're up 30, go defend them. And although I don't think that that's something that I would do necessarily, if you don't like it, go do something about it. Don't just whine about it or throw a temper tantrum. That's my stance. My one caveat to that is that I don't think it creates a great example for the youth watching sports, which is my only reason to say that I dislike it slightly. For the most part, my opinion is, hey, man, if you don't like it, go do something about it. If you're going to sit there and not do something about it, deal with it. So I loved Kyrie Irving's reaction because it was genuine and sincere. Like, yeah, he's a human being. It pissed him off.
Right.
But then go guard the guy. Right?
Sure. Good point. I just think my thing is basketball and football to a certain extent are sports where the game can be over before the actual time runs out, right? So, like, this game was in hand. They were winning by 8 or at that point 6 with, you know, very little time left, and that's a win, right? Like, you just run the clock out. If they try and foul you, you go and you make free throws. But even at that point, the game was over. So, like – with the game already over for the most part, I know not within the means of the rules, but actually being over because they can't win, I think you just run the clock out. It's like football. It's like taking a knee. You don't go for a touchdown if you're on the 5-yard line and you're up by 2 touchdowns already. When time's running out, you just take a knee. It's the same sort of deal in basketball. I think it is just a respect and sportsmanship issue at that point. Like you got the best of them that night. Then there you go. You just do what you're supposed to do instead of going for 50. Now, going for 50 is obviously a big deal, but I don't think that you can. I don't think you do it. I just don't.
All right. So I slightly disagree with you.
That's fair. Well, and I think, like, maybe, okay. So when I think about it, volleyball is different in that the game is never over until the last point is scored. So every play, you have to do everything you can to win, right? Because, like...
Or, like, baseball, for example.
Or baseball, exactly. Like, you can't just walk up and not swing at a pitch because it's just that's more demoralizing than trying to, you know, just be a professional and try and get a hit. But basketball and football can end before the actual game is over because it's so far out of reach for the other team.
Well, in baseball, they kind of take care of that for you. Like, for example, if it's the bottom of the ninth and you're the home team and you're winning, you just don't bat.
Right.
It's almost like in football, if with 5 minutes left, you're up by 21, they were like, no, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, we're good. That's kind of the same thing if you think about it.
That's true. So I think there are some unwritten rules that, you know, you just don't do stuff like that. But, yeah, we're not getting paid millions of dollars and trying to score 50 points a night. So who knows?
True.
Sometimes, you know, not to give them an excuse, but sometimes the crowd gets into it and they kind of get you riled up and everyone knows that he's got 48, wants him to score 50. And you just kind of lose yourself. So that's what I'm hoping. I don't know. I don't really know him personally, so I can't say what he was doing. But that's my hope. Because being a dick is not a good look.
Very true. Very true. I agree with you there.
All right. So tonight is today was voting day, and I just want to know, because I see all these ads on TV, and it just blows my mind how people try and just absolutely crush everyone's character that they're running against. So would you ever run for office? And if so, what would you run for?
I don't want to say that I would never run for office. I am not a fan of the political climate in general. I just feel like politics is a giant popularity contest. It's like, you know, homecoming all over again for 40-year-olds. I really think that's what it is, right? I mean, you use your agenda and what you want to put out there and the change you want to make as just fuel to create popularity for yourself.
Yeah, agreed.
But I do think that there's a lot of ability to create change inside of politics, whether it be, you know, city council or mayor or governor or whatever it is, right? Like, you can affect a lot of change running for political office. As snakies, you have to be getting there.
Right.
You know, I think you can do a lot of good things. So I don't think I'd ever rule it out, but probably not. I don't know. I just don't like what you have to go through to get there.
Yeah, agreed. No, I think that's something that I always go back to is, like, I couldn't, like, knowingly put out an ad or a commercial that is totally just slamming somebody else, regardless of how true it is. You know, like, it's not in my personality to do that. And I would have a hard time with, like, I mean, because obviously half of whoever is going to hate you no matter what. And I just don't really do well when I know that people despise me. So, like,
yeah, you're right. I don't like that either. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't, knowing that literally 50% of the country or the state or the city, whatever you end up, what would run for, would just not like you. I couldn't really deal with that. It wouldn't sit well with me.
You'd be like, but you don't know me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I promise I'm trying to do good, but then it's like, but then are you trying to please everybody so you're not really doing a good job anywhere because you're not making any decisions? I feel like that's where I would then be too accommodating for too many people and I would never make a decision, which would make me a bad employee. So then therefore I shouldn't even run anyways. Oh, man. All right. Yeah, it's crazy climate right now, like you said. Not to make this a political podcast, but it's absolutely insane. It's like a reality show, to be honest.
It is.
But anyhow, all right, what do you got for me? You said you got another couple of good ones?
I do. Let's do one more.
Okay.
I'll save the other one.
Okay.
The other one is, oh, so recently, an Ottawa, what, Senators? The Senators, NHL. I'm not an NHL fan. I don't know where they're from. A Senators player and some of his friends took an Uber late night from a bar or a club back to their house or wherever they're going, right? Uh-huh. And in the Uber, they were talking a bunch of smack on their team, on their coach, on the organization, just running their mouth, right? The Uber driver has a video from the dash cam that records his passengers.
Oh,
I would imagine for insurance purposes. And he leaked the video. It got out to all the sports outlets, and it's just this, these two big time players talking trash on their coach for like an hour, right? So my question to you is, first of all, fair or foul, as if you're the Uber driver, right? Like, how weak is that?
Well, yeah. No, that's...
Yeah, I guess that's my only question, fair or foul?
Oh, no, that's terrible. I mean, in this day and age, I know it's about getting your 15 seconds of fame, and maybe he got paid to leak it from TMZ or something like that, but you can't do that. I just would never. I feel like... I mean, but at the same time, they shouldn't be talking about it. And that's where I would put most of the blame is, as a professional athlete, you got to know the boundaries of where you can talk about that sort of stuff. And even if they thought they were just doing it with each other in an Uber, you just never know. And you
if a 12:30 a.m. Uber ride back to your house from a club isn't sacred, then what is? I mean, they say like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in an Uber at 1 a.m. stays in a freaking Uber at 1 a.m., right?
Hey, they were in Phoenix.
If I had a – oh, my gosh. I mean, imagine the videos of us in Ubers at 1 a.m., the conversations that come out. Like, would we be in trouble, you know, with our bosses or anything? Probably not. Right. But not all of it would be great to publish in the mass media.
Oh, that's a good point. But I just wouldn't do that. I feel like I wouldn't do that either as like – I feel like that's just – you get dragged into it as the Uber driver leaking it now.
Well, the Uber driver's like probably egging it on too. He's like, oh, yeah, tell me about him. How did he treat you? What's the locker room like? You know, what about senior leadership? Do they treat you well? Do they take care of you? You know what I mean? He's probably just like fueling it, like seeing the dollar signs, like just adding up in his bank account.
Like, how do you compare this to when D'Angelo Russell leaked that stuff about Swaggy P?
Oh, no. Dude, D'Angelo Russell is a professional athlete. The Uber driver is not a professional athlete. This isn't a hockey player taking another hockey player home. It is an Uber driver driving professional athletes home.
So you think D'Angelo Russell's was way worse?
Way worse.
Way worse. Because that's a teammate thing, too.
Oh, yeah. And the Uber driver is driving Ubers because he's not a millionaire.
True.
Right? So he's just looking for a little bit extra cash to improve his life. D'Angelo Russell doesn't need the money, just being a punk.
Yeah, it's a good point. And like D'Angelo Russell, like figure your shit out, right? Like you can't do that.
Jeez, what a... And he's kind of disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Brooklyn, but...
I mean...
I feel like you never bounce back from that, right? Because now everyone is going to think that you're a snitch.
Yep.
And that's what I've learned working in Compton and South Central and now in West Phoenix. Kids do not like to be perceived as snitches. It's one of the worst things.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, you don't want that. No. Prison, the NBA.
Yep.
You just don't want it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anyhow. Well, that's all I got. I apologize for the technology side of things. I am absolutely atrocious at the technology. We're going to have to figure this thing out because – we're in a heap of trouble if I have to keep doing this. But we will figure it out. I promise we will. And this is a good one. That ends the Blitz package. This ends this episode of the Checkdown.
All right.
Yeah. We'll do the same damn thing next week. I'm not sure how it will be released, but it will be released. And we'll get you the information that you need to know to all the Pac-12 fans out
there. If we have to do it with a couple of Dixie cups and a string, we'll make it happen.
We'll make it work. If I have to record a voice memo on my phone, text them, email it to them, put it onto the computer, I'll get it out there however I need to get it out there. So we'll work on this one too. But Kyle, thank you. That was good. We're getting into the primetime games right now, so it's really exciting.
Oh, yeah. Big week.
All right. We'll do the same damn thing next week.
All right, man.